Continuing in Masechet Chulin, Daf Mem Vav. In order to do a bedikah on lungs, we must use lukewarm water. Not hot water, since the membranes will shrink. Not cold water, since the membranes will harden. You put the rea into the water, blow into the rea, and you see if a bubble comes up to the surface. This is a siman trefa. Otherwise, it's kosher. If the lungs were struck with a blow, and part of the lungs are red, it's kosher. But if all of it's red, then it's a siman trefa, since there must be some kind of a tear below the surface. If part of the lungs became dry, that's also a siman trefa. If there are scabs, black spots, or some colors, then the animal is considered kosher. Finally, if two lobes of the lung are stuck together via sircha, via adhesion, we assume that it's from liquid in the membrane, and it may be a siman trefa. Daf Mem Zayin. Rava said there are five lobes in the lung, three on the left, on the right side, and two on the left side. If one is missing, or if there are six instead of five, or the two and the three are mixed up, instead of the three being on the right and the two on the left, it's two on the right and three on the left, the animal is considered a trefa. But Mereimar paskin that it's kosher, and if there's an extra lobe, we paskin like him, lekula, as long as the extra lobe is lined up in the same row as the other lobes. If the lungs have blue color or green color, it's kosher, but a blackish red color, it's a trefa. Rabbi Nosson says, one time a woman came to me who lost her first two sons via their milah. She made a bris milah on them, and they both died. And now she brought her third son, who was a reddish color. So Rabbi Nosson told her not to do the bris milah until the red color goes away. They waited. They did the bris milah after the red color went away. He lived, and they called him Nosson HaBavli after Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Yosef said that if one blows into a lung and it makes a noise, avsha rea, we should put a feather or water on the bad spot to see that if the feather moves or the water bubbles, that's a siman, there must be a hole, and therefore it's a siman trefa. Finally, if part of the inside of the lung dissolved or decayed, but the rest of the rea is healthy, the animal is kosher. Daf Mem Ches. If the lungs are stuck to the rib cage, we're not cheshish that there was a hole. But if we see tzmachim, wounds, we're afraid that it's a trefa. Others say that in both cases, we must be machmer. Rava said that if a lung has an adhesion, a sircha, there is no way to do a bedika. Rabbi Nechemia says you can be bedikit via the water and bubble method that we mentioned before. If we find a needle in the flesh of the lungs, and when we blow, no air escapes, which seems to imply that there is not really a hole, Rabbi Yechanan says it's kosher, but Reish Lakish says it's not kosher, since the needle is eating away at the flesh. If a needle gets into a lung via swallowing, often it will be a trefa, since it will create a hole in the windpipe or the food pipe. Finally, if a needle was stuck in the liver, it's kosher. If it's the blunt end was stuck, but if it's the prickly side of the needle, that's the part that was stuck, then it may be a trefa. Daf Mem Tes. If a needle is stuck in the base hakaisis, the fatty part, this is the fatty part of the second stomach of the four stomachs in an animal which chews its cud. If it pierces through all the layers, it's a siman trefa. The Gemara asks, why are the lungs called, or a lung is called a rea? Our answer is, since it is meir, the eyesight, it lights up the eyes. If a hole in the lungs, if there is a hole in the lungs, it's a siman trefa, but this is only if it's in the base hasimpinus, the large bronchi. Rabbi Shmuel said from the Pasuk in Bamidbar Vav, Koisevarchu es b'nei Yisrael, we learn that the Kahanim bless the Yisraelim. And from the Pasuk of Va'ani Avarchem, that teaches that Hashem blesses the Kahanim. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Hashem who blesses Klal Yisrael as well, not the Kohanim. Before the Kohen declares a house to be Tame because of leprosy, the Torah allows them to remove certain kelim so they won't become Tame. This is because HaTorah Chasa Al Mamayna Shel Yisrael. The Torah cares very much about not wasting a person's money. Therefore, we allow them to take out certain kelim so they do not become Tame. Finally, there are three liquids that if a snake drinks from it, you must be Chayshish, that the snake may have poisoned the liquid, and therefore you shouldn't drink it. Yayin, wine, mayim, water, and chalav, milk. Other liquids we're not chayshish for, the sakana of giloy, since snakes don't normally drink from them. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch it's brought that we don't paskin like this in general anyway today, because snakes are not so shchiach to be found in cities. Daf Nun. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, if there is a hole in the intestines, black with a certain type of hard membrane, a lecha, to remove the mucus, then it's kosher. We pass like Rabbi Shimon regarding the halacha by an ovel. The first 3 days of avelus, if one of the avelim comes from a close town, he begins counting shiva as if he was in the house. In other words, the people in the house have already counted day one and two of the Shiva. Now somebody walks in from a close town, didn't know about what had happened, and he comes on day three. So we say that he can start counting from day three. He doesn't have to start from day one again. But if he comes from a far place, he must now begin counting the full 7 days of Shiva. After the first 3 days, he always must begin a full 7 days. So if somebody comes on the fourth day, then they don't get credit for the first 3 days and they have to count Shiva from the beginning. Reb Shimon says, even after day seven, if he comes from a close place, we're Mekel, and he counts with them, i.e. he may only have to count part of the seventh day. And the halacha is like Reb Shimon, because by Hilchas Avelos, we always paskin like the Mekel. If the chalcholos, which is the section at the end of the intestines, is punctured, the animal is kosher, since the thigh bone supports it and seals it off. If a needle was found stuck in the double-layered wall of the Beis HaKaisis, the Ove Beis HaKaisis, if it's stuck in the inner side, it's kosher, but if it went through both layers, it's a trefa. If we found a bit of blood on the needle, we assume that the cut happened before the shechita, and the animal is a trefa. Daf Nun Aleph. If a scab formed over the wound, we assume that the wound occurred 3 days before the shechita, and therefore it's a trefa. And if someone bought the animal within the 3 days, it's a mekach tos, and he can demand his money back. If there is no scab, we don't know when the wound occurred, and we say ha-maitzi mechavero olav haraya. Since the meicher is the holder of the money, the seller is now has the money because he was paid, the burden of proof will now be on the buyer. The Ran asserts that the buyer can demand a refund even if the animal turns out to be usser only because of suffolk. The seller cannot claim that the buyer must prove that the animal is really a trefa, since practically speaking, the animal may not be eaten because of the suffolk. Such an animal is considered defective, and the seller must refund the money. This is brought in Kuntres al Adaf. Moreover, says the Ran, even if the animal is not osur according to the letter of the law, but only because of a chumra instituted by the Gaonim, the money must nevertheless be refunded, since practically speaking, the animal can't be eaten. The Pischei Tshuva, which is brought in Chesh Mishpat, Simen Reish Lamed Beis, Sif Katan Vav, said that the same halacha applies to the sale of an esrog. Even if the retailer sells esrogim in sealed boxes, which is common today, and he's unable to examine the esrog prior to the sale, if the esrog turns out to be pusel, the retailer is responsible to refund the money, just as our Gemara says that a cattle dealer must refund the money for a trefa, even though it's impossible to detect certain defects before the shechita. The Pischei Tshuva, however, states that the Gemara's halacha does not override the local custom. In places where the minig is not to refund the money, then the buyer cannot demand a refund, because regarding monetary matters, the local custom is what's followed. In such places, if the consumer does not want to take a chance of spending money for a pusel esrog, he must explicitly stipulate that he's buying the esrog on the condition that it's actually valid and that it's not pusel. Otherwise, he can't make a claim. Returning to the Gemara, male rams that hit each other with their horns were not chayshish for treifas, unless they fell to the ground. Then we have to be chayshish. If someone hits an animal with a cane, if it goes straight across the back, the cane goes straight across the back, then we're not chayshish. But if it's a short cane, then we are chayshish for a trefa, since the end hit the animal somewhere in the middle there, and that's the strongest part. So we're chayshish, maybe there was something that injured the animal on that spot. If a calf was born on Yontif, there is no chash of mukta, and we can shecht it on Yontif. Reb Shimon says, a baby calf which was born via cesarean is considered like a calf that was born regularly, except it won't have kedushas bechor the way a naturally born calf has that kedusha. If an animal falls, and then it's capable of standing, you don't need to wait 24 hours to see if it's still capable of standing, but you do need to be biting it. Finally, if a bird was thrown forcefully onto water, if it can swim a bit, then it's not considered a trefa. But that's only if it swims upstream, which proves that it still has kayach. But if it's downstream, then it's no raya, since the current is helping it out, therefore it's still maybe a trefa. Daf Nun Beis. If glue is on a board and a bird gets a wing stuck in the glue, it's a machlokes if we're chayshish for a trefa or not. And the halach is, if it's one wing that gets stuck, then the bird is mutter. But if it's two wings that get stuck, we say that it's usser. There are 22 ribs in the animal. If rove of them are broken, i.e. 12 of them, it's a simen trefa. But there are certain cases where even less than 12 creates a trefa. To make a behema a trefa through clawing, it must be a wolf which did the clawing, or a larger animal than a wolf. If it's less than that, for example, a cat, then it does not make a trefa. By a bird, however, even a smaller animal's claws will create a trefa. Finally, Rav Kahana asked, is there a din of drusa, trefa, if a cat claws or not? Our answer is yes, there is, since if a weasel can create a trefa via drusa, kal vachemer, a cat can. Tatnun gimel. A cat can only create a drusa if it clawed midas, but if it just fell by accident and its claw cut into a different animal, that animal is not a trefa. If there is a suffic drusa, for example, a lion entered a room with many cows, it's a machlekes if that's enough to create a trefa. Rav says we go lekula, Shmuel says we go lechumra. However, by a suffic drusa, we definitely need a bedika. If we see a red patch on the animal, that's a simen that probably venom got into its skin. Finally, if an animal was hurt to the point where a doctor would scrape away a lot of damaged skin, then the animal is considered to be a trefa. Dafnun Dal. Even a very small red patch is a sign of venom, and it can be a kaveya, a din of trefa. The Gemara says if an animal is shchuta, and it is also shmuta, shmuta means that the simanim slipped out of place, if they slipped off after the shchita, then it's kosher, but if it's before the shchita, then it's a trefa. If an animal is shot in the Gid Hanasha, and then we do shchita, this is not called a trefa, since it's not on the official list of trefas designated by the Chachamim. The Mishnah. The following is a list of chesreinus which don't render a behema a trefa. Number 1, a small hole or a top tabanum split in the gargaris. Number 2, if a small piece was missing from the skull, as long as there isn't a hole in the membranes around the brain, then it's not considered to be a trefa. Number 3, a hole in the heart which didn't reach the chamber. Number 4, if the spine was broke but the chut hashedra, the spinal cord, was not damaged. Number 5, if the kaved, the liver, is missing, but at least a kezias of it remains. Number 6, if there's a hole from the hemsis leading into the beis hakaisis. Number 7, if the tchel, the spleen, is missing. Number 8, if the kidneys are missing, the kleos. Number 9, if the lower jaw was pulled out. Number 10, if the uterus was removed. Number 11, if a lung was frozen through shock via a shock which came bidei shamayim, for example, thunder. But if it was shocked bidei adam, then it is a trefa. Finally, if it was a gluda, if the skin was peeled off, Rameir says kosher, Chachamim say it's treif. The Gemara. The amount that must be missing from the gargaris to make it a trefa is a piece that is the size of an Isser ha'italki coin. But when this coin was out of circulation, they used other coins of a similar size. Rabbi Yossi Barav Oven said, when someone is in the middle of doing a mitzvah, it is even more precious than when they learn Torah, i.e. chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Finally, whenever Chazal uses the shear of kesela for trefas, it's really the size that's slightly bigger than a sela. Nachman Hay. Some people used to tie a rope at the end of their beds, so they would tie the Karban Pesach onto the bed on Erev Pesach. A klei cheres can only become tameh if it has a base kibble, a place to hold liquid. And in fact, even a small gistera, a small piece, can become tameh as well. Once it becomes tameh, however, we say rak shvirasan metaharasan, only breaking it can bring it back to a state of tahara. The general rule is, when we have a suffix, if something is ad v'ad b'chlal, meaning it's up to and including a certain thing, or ad v'loyad b'chlal, it's up to but not including the final thing, we go lahachmer. Taisus over here asks from the Gemara in Brachas Daf Chavav, Gemara in Tfilas HaShachar, where the Mishnah says, Tfilas HaShachar ad chatzos, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer ad arba shos. Rabbi Yehuda says it's until the fourth hour. So the Gemara asks, does this mean the third hour or the fourth hour? In other words, do we say that it's ad the ad bichlal? Ad arba shos means including the fourth hour. So if the day starts at 6 o'clock in Shos Manios, if it's a day from 6 to 6, then the Zman for davening would be until 10 o'clock. Or does he mean to say that it's ad v'loy ad bichlal? It's not including the fourth hour. Therefore, it's only till 9 o'clock that a person can daven shachras. The Psak de Gemara says it's ad v'ad bichlal, that it's actually until the end of the fourth hour. But Taisvus asks, but our Gemara paskind, as we said here, that whenever we have a suffix of ad v'ad bichlal or ad v'loy ad bichlal, we always paskin l'chumr. So why over here in Tilas HaShachar do we say ad arba shayis is ad v'ad bichlal, meaning that it's actually 4 hours, which is really a kula? Taisvus answers, no. While 4 is really a kula, it's also possible that 4 hours can be a chumra. Because if we held 3 hours, let's say it's 9:30 in the morning, so the person wouldn't be able to daven anymore. So the person now is free from davening. But since we say that it's up until the fourth hour, meaning he can daven until 10 o'clock, that's actually a chumra. Because now he has a chiyuv to daven anyway. He still has a chiyuv, because the chiyuv is up until the fourth hour. So although it's a kula in the sense that he has an extra hour, but once he missed the end of the third hour, meaning that it's 9:30, he still has a chiyuv to daven. That in many ways is a chumra as well. So really you could say that that is a chumra. The Gemara says if the tchel, the spleen, is missing, it's kosher. But if there's a hole in the spleen, then it's a treifa. If the kidneys are infected, the Gemara refers to this as laksa bekulia, then it's a treifa. The rule is that anything kosher in a rea, in a lung, is treifa by a kidney. But if anything is kosher in a rea, it's certainly kosher in a kulia. A kidney that shrunk does not create a treifa unless it got smaller than a bean by a daka, or smaller than the size of a half grape by a behema. The Gemara says if a person scares an animal and its lung freezes, this is referred to as tzumka, then it's a treifa. But if it's bitei shamayim, then it's kosher. If an animal is gluda, meaning that it was skinned, Rameir said kosher, the Chachamim say pasul. Some other Tanaim came along and agreed with the Chachamim, and Rameir was also meichel later on that in fact the Chachamim are correct and the animal is a treifa. The Rambam learns that most Suffolk treifas brought in the Gemara are kosher, due to the fact that nishchata becheskes kashrus aymedes, meaning that we have a chazaka that it's bekashrus. Unless we have a strong case to show that it's a treifa, we say that it has a cheskes kosher. Finally, if a person has a machshava when he brings a carbon to eat it chutz lizmane, outside of the designated time, then it's considered pigel, and if someone eats it, he's chayev karas. Daf Nun Vav, the Mishnah. In these cases, by an oif, we consider the animal to be a treifa. Number one, nekuvas haveshet, the food pipe has a hole in it. Number two, if the gargaris, the windpipe, was severed, this is a treifa. Number three, if a weasel bit it on the head. If the korkovan, number four, if the korkovan, the gizzard, was punctured. Number five, if the dakin, the intestines, were punctured. Number six, if the bird fell into fire and the organs turned green, meaning they were damaged, it's also a treifa. And finally, it's a treifa if there was a drusa, if the animal was trampled or it was hit up against a wall. The Gemara. Rav and Shmuel say by the case of a weasel, a bedika needs to be done by putting the hand into the mouth to check the stability of the brain. Zeiri says a bedika is not possible by the weasel case since its teeth are very thin. Others say we do a bedika, but it's a machlokes if we use a finger or a needle. The next Mishnah. In these cases, a bird is considered kosher. Number one, a hole in the gargaris, in the windpipe, or if it was split lengthwise. Number two, if a weasel bit it where there was no chshash of brain damage. Number three, if the zevek, the crap, was punctured. Number four, if the intestines came out of the body, but there was no puncture. Number five, if the bone of the wing or its foot was broken. Number six, if its large feathers were plucked. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the small feathers close to the body were removed, the animal is a treifa. The Gemara. In the Pasuk in Devarim, Lamed Beis, Hu Asacha Vayachayneneka, we learn that Hashem created specific formations and organs in a person's body, and that without these organs, a person cannot live. Daf Nun Zayin. If the foreleg of an animal was dislocated, the animal is kosher. The halacha is by shmutas yerech ba'if, a dislocated thigh bone. That's a machloikis if it's kosher or treif. Finally, the halacha is like Rav Huna, that the maximum amount of time that a treifa can survive is 12 months. But if it lives past the 12 months, it's a siman that it must be kosher. Daf Nun Ches. Baby birds that are inside an animal at the time it became a treifa also become treifas, because we say uber yerech imai. But any new eggs that came later are mutter, because of zev zegarim, meaning zev zegarim, you have two different elements here, a father, who is really mutter, a mother, who's a treifa. Since it's zev vezegarim, both of them, we say mutter. Others argue and say zev vezegarim is usser. Therefore, the new eggs would also be treifas. Whether it's possible for a treifa to be able to give birth at all, that's a machlekes. The halacha by a zachar suffic treifa is that if it survives more than 12 months, it's a simon that it's not a treifa, and no further bedika is needed. But by a nekeva suffic treifa, if it doesn't give birth, then that's the siman that it's in fact a treifa. Finally, if an animal has five legs or three legs, it's supposed to really have four, by a bechor, it can be eaten as chulin, but it cannot be used as a carbon. The next Mishnah. If an animal was stricken with congestion of the blood, or it inhaled smoke, or it became thick from cold, ate poisonous herbs, chicken waste, or poisonous water, it's ksher. But if it ate sam hamavis, a poisonous nix, or if it was bit by a poisonous snake, it isn't treifa, but a person cannot eat it due to a chash of sakanas nefashas. If it eats, a person eats it, it could take into its stomach something poisonous, and therefore, since that's a suffix of suffix nefashas, sakanas nefashas, you're not allowed to eat it. Nachman test, the next Mishnah. The siman of kashrus by a behema and a chaya is said specifically by the Torah, but the simane kashrus of an oif, of a bird, the Torah doesn't explicitly say. So the Chachamim said that a bird that picks up food with its claws is considered tame. If it is dairis, it is also tame. By fish, if it has snapir vikaskesas, fins and scales, it's kosher. Fins are actually what the fish uses to swim with. The Gemara. For a behema, the Torah specifies the aspects of a kosher animal. Male gera umafresas parsa. It chews its cud, and it has split hooves. But a camel, a gomel, and a shafan, even though they chew their cud, they are still tame, since the Torah specifically says they're tame. The Kesar said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, your God is compared to a lion, since when he roars, people are afraid. Daf Samach. Hashem, when he gives something good to someone, he doesn't take it back. Rabbi Yehuda says that a shor, a bull, should have a large stomach, large hooves, a big head, and a long tail. The Nafkamina is regarding mekach umemkar, meaning that this is good advice in buying a shor, that a shor should have these characteristics. And in fact, the Meiri goes so far as to say that if the buyer later realizes that he received a bull that lacks one of these characteristics, he can claim that it was a mekach tos and demand his money back. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, whatever was created at Maase Bereishis was created in its adult state, and therefore it's beautiful. The Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Dalet says, Yihi chvayd Hashem li'olam, yismach Hashem b'masav. May the glory of Hashem be forever. Let Hashem rejoice in his words. The moon was told to make itself smaller than the sun. When it became upset over this, Hashem told it that it would shine by day as well as by night, and Klal Yisrael would count its calendar by the moon, not by the sun. From numerous examples, we see that Hashem desires the tefillos of tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh l'tefillosan shel tzaddikim. The land of Ammon and Moab was first conquered by Sichon, and then Klal Yisrael was able to take it over. Finally, the Umei HaOlam considered not only Eretz Yisrael to be chashuv, but even the mountains were considered to be chashuv as well. Daf Samach Aleph. The Nesher, the eagle, is an oif tame, and just like it doesn't have a crop, and it is dairis, it grabs its food, so too all things in the Nesher family, which have all these simanim of tame, are considered tame. But if it has a siman tahar, then it's considered tahar. Kuntres al-Adaf here discusses with the Mishnah we had before on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, which says that birds which have the characteristics of dairis are not kosher. And there are several interpretations of what dairis means. Rashi, in that Mishnah, Divrei HaMaskel HaDairis, explains that dairis refers to a bird which seizes its food with its claws and lifts it off the ground to his mouth. This is considered dairis, and therefore it's a treifa. Rashi, on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskel V'Hani Mili Deloy Dairis, defines dairis as referring to a bird that breaks off a small piece of food while holding the rest of the food in place on the ground with its foot, as ravens commonly do. Taisvis, on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskel HaDairis, brings Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees with Rashi, for he says that chickens also often eat in this manner. Rabbeinu Tam explains that dairis refers to eating its prey alive without killing it first and waiting for it to die. The Rashba cites Rabbeinu Tam, who explains that he's referring to birds that eat other birds alive, but not to birds that eat only live insects and rodents, because chickens also do that. The Ramban defines dairis as birds that kill their prey by clawing them to death. According to this pshat, the term dairis has the same meaning as drusa, which we said regarding treifas on Daf Nun Gimel. The Ran points out, however, that there's a slight difference between the two usages. In the Gemara earlier, the term drusa refers specifically to animals that are clawed and killed through the injection of venom, whereas the term dairis here refers to all killing by clawing, whether through the injection of venom or whether by means of slashing and striking. The Gemara says that in general, even one siman tahara by an oif creates an oif which is tahar. This is learned from the Nesher. The rule of shnei ksuvin habayin ke'echad ein melamden only applies if the second pasuk is totally repetitive, But if we learn something new from the second pasuk, even something small, then we do the drasha and learn the drasha from both. There are 24 types of oif tame listed in the Torah. The Gemara says we have a Kabbalah, there are 24 cases of oif tame, and 20 of them have the same three simanei tahara. The arev, the raven, has only two. Daf samach beis. In order to establish that an oif has simen tahara, you have to be a baki in order to establish that fact. The bird which scratches is called an oif tahar and can be used in the process to be metaher a metzaira. If it has a white stomach, all agree that it's an oif tahar. If it has a green stomach, it's a machlekes if it's tahar or tame. By a bird carbon, a turtle dove can only be used if it's an adult. But if the yaina is used, it can only be used if it's a small size. Any bird that drinks from a mechatas passels the mechatas, except for a yaina, since a yaina doesn't let water when it drinks it fall back in, but it only sucks the water, it's only mitzits the water. By an oif tahar, the kurkavan, the gizzard, is peelable. By an oif tame, it's not peelable. Finally, the Gemara says the parva is a forbidden bird, and the simon to remember this is Parva Amgusha, who was a famous magician, Parva the magician. Just like magic is usur to practice, so too the parva is usur to eat. Daf Samach Gimel. It was the dechifas bird that brought the shamir worm to the Beis HaMikdash. This was the worm they used to cut through stones. Rabbi Yechanan used to say different psukim regarding mishpat when he saw specific insects. For example, he said a bracha about the ant, that even though the ant is very small, it's easy for the ant to gather its food. On the other hand, the other side of the mishpat is that some larger animals, you would think, should be easy to get food, but for them they have to work a lot harder than the ant does. There is a certain insect that we have a Kabbalah, that if it sits on the ground and makes a certain type of sound, it's a siman that the Mashiach is coming. The chasida is the stork, and it's called the chasida, since it does chesed by sharing food with its friends. We repeat many of the tame animals in Sefer Dvarim in order to add certain ones to the list of tameis that we didn't say earlier in the Torah. Avimi said that there are 700 types of dagim tameim, dagim fish which are tameim, and there are 24 ifas tameim. By behemoths, there are more tameis than taharas. That's why the Torah enumerates the taharas, because there's less taharas, the smaller amount to say, so the Torah enumerates them. On the other hand, by ifas, there are more taharim than there are tameim. Therefore, the Torah lists the tameim, which is the smaller amount. And the lesson from this is, as Rav said, le'olam yishana adam le'talmidav derech k'tzara, that we see from the fact that the Torah always shortlisted, or picked a shorter list instead of a longer list, that it's always better to teach your talmidim in a short and quick fashion versus a longer, more wordy fashion. Finally, Rabbi Yitzchak said, an oif tahar can be eaten if a person has a Kabbalah that it can be eaten, and it can be eaten even without inspecting for simanei tahara once you have this Kabbalah. The Darkei Tshuva in Simen Pei Bei, Sivkot and Chav Vav, discusses whether a turkey is mutter or not. The reason he asked this question is because the turkey was not known in Europe until a few hundred years ago. And being that the European Jews did not have a tradition, a Kabbalah regarding the turkey, the Paiskim discussed on whether it's mutter to rely on the Kabbalah which they have in other countries that a turkey is mutter to eat. In the end, the Darkei Tshuva says that a turkey is mutter. Since we're running out of tape here, we'll finish the final few dafim of Perek Elu Treifas and Yitzhashem on the next tape.